Okay, today is Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. We mentioned this in the past. I just want to point out that today is the anniversary of the Sreifas HaTalmud. We touched upon yesterday the Kina. Just close the door. We mentioned the Kina Sha'ali Srufa Be'esh that was composed by the Maran Meirandenberg. Rav Baruch Meirandenberg, that occurred. The Sreifa Satalma took place in the year 1242. It was an outgrowth of a series of debates between Rabbi Yechiel Mipariz and his Talmidim against an apostate in the presence of the king and queen and other leaders, other members of France. And even though the debate was won by the Jewish community, even according to their accounting, it was a foregone conclusion that the Talmud would have to be burnt. And the records are there were 24 wagons filled with approximately 1,200 manuscripts of mostly the Talmud and its commentaries. And this was approximately 200 years before the invention of the printing press, which meant that every single manuscript was handwritten, and they were gathered in the town square, and they were burnt. It was a devastating blow to the community, and it began this was the beginning of the end of the Jewish settlement in France. And not that many years later, people slowly began to leave and go to all different parts of the world. And who was present when this event happened? We mentioned the Maran Meirandenberg. He later in his life composed the Kina mourning about what has happened. And this became very famous and is part of our liturgy. We all say this on Tisha B'Av. Now, today is also the ninth day of Tammuz. The ninth day of Tammuz is actually the anniversary. It's the calendar date of when this event occurred. The Rabban of the time, they were shoiled in from Shemayim through a She'elas Chaloim, where they asked that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond to a tzaddik through a dream. What is the significance of this event? And the response from Shemayim was the Targum. We're now learning a lot of Targum lately. It was a Targum Onkel. It's not a Targum Yonas Ben Uziel of the second part of this week's parasha. The reply was Da Gezeras Oiraisa. Is another word in the Targum. Targum Da Gezeras Oiraisa, which simply means Zos Chuka Satoira. The translation for Chuka is Gezera. Chukah is a very nice word. Chukah means this is the law of the Torah. But when you translate it into Aramaic, it's a nice. Gzera means it's the law. But in our vernacular, the way we use the word gzera, it has a very negative connotation. Gzera, we always say it's a gzera. It's a horrible decree. It's something that we have to worry about. So being that in Shemayim they responded with the word Zoyz Chukah Satorah, we translated the words Da Gzera Saraisa. It was meant to be the Klal Yisrael has to worry. That what has happened over here was a very harsh punishment for Klal Yisrael. And a lot of things to discuss. First of all, Rav Shimshon Pinchas asked the very obvious question, which would bother all of us. Why are they asking in Shemayim Mashelas Chaloim? Chazal tell us a person does not even prick his pinky unless it's a gzeira min Hashemayim. Everything that happens in this world is decreed from above. If you go on, you put your hand in the pocket and you take out a quarter instead of a nickel or a dime instead of a quarter, it's also a decree min Hashemayim. So what exactly does this mean, this tradition that they asked in Shemayim, what is happening over here? And in Shemayim they responded, Do Gezera. Alright, thank you very much. I know that already. Of course, something such a horrible thing happened. Of course, it's a Gzera min Hashemayim. Rav Shimshon Pinchas, he says an incredible, fascinating answer, which has to be further understood. And I didn't see it inside. I saw this secondhand. And even if I was seeing it inside, it probably also has to be really understood the depth of what this means. And it's quoted by many other people. He says as follows. When Rachmana Litzlan, we are faced with a tzara in Klal Yisrael, there are two possible responses. Either we can fight, and we can be Moser Nefesh, we can even go to war, we can demonstrate, we can give up our lives in order to prevent the Gzer from coming to be, or we can just sit back and take the suffering, and accept it, and either do nothing, or we have to look within and do tshuva and recognize that it's a punishment, and the solution will come not by fighting and resisting and giving of our lives, but instead by doing tshuva. Chazal say, for example, times of Shmat, when the Ummah Sa'olam are trying to get Klal Yisrael to give up, to convert, to abandon the Torah and the mitzvahs. So Chazal say, you will have to give up your life when it's a gzeris of Shmat to get you to convert to another religion or to abandon your religion, even if they make a gzera to change the color of your shoelaces. Even though we are familiar that when it comes to giving up your life, you only have to give your life for the big three, avodah zarah, gilei raya, shvicha, stamim. But if built into their thinking and their mindset is that we're going to get you to change to the Torah by wearing a different color shoelace. Instead of wearing a black shoelace, you can wear a white shoelace. A white shoelace, even if it's something like that, you have to give up your life. So the question then of Shirvinga says, when they asked the question, the question was, are we mechuyev to basically be Moiser Nefesh, to demonstrate, to fight and prevent them from destroying the Talmud? And even if, and it's not exactly clear when the dream was the dream before the event, or was the dream after the event, and the truth is it doesn't make a difference, because even if it took place afterwards, this was just the beginning of many burnings of the Talmud. There were many other types of events. And the question was, what should be our response? And now again, this I don't know, fully understand the answer. The answer, the word gezera in Chazal's understanding means don't fight. There's nothing to fight about. The problem is not the goyim. The problem is you. The problem is, you know why this happens? Because you don't appreciate the chashivas of Torah. If you appreciate the chashivas of Torah, minela, the goyim would not come along and try to take away your Torah. If this was something which was not something that was lacking within us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to use this as a way to stimulate us to go higher and to fight, to be Meiser Nefesh, it would have been a different response. The term Gezera, according to Rabbi Pinkus, is it is a decree where you don't have to do anything outside. Look within. Look, the problem is within. Yeah?
Is there Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel went up
to Shmuel. Same exact idea. So they didn't fight. They didn't fight against the goyim. They didn't come and demonstrate. They just accepted upon that. Exactly. It fits very well. When the Yerushalmi went into Shemaim, he said the Shem Hashem, and he wanted to know. What did he want to know? He wanted basically the same idea. What he's saying is, should we fight back? Maybe we should fight. We shouldn't just take this sitting down. You don't have to go take punishment. Fight. Demonstrate. Do. Yeah.
That's just what I was going to get. Since the time of the Golos, has there ever been a time where we were told to resist?
Yes, I believe so. Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. You know, you can just let the.
Rabbi Chanan has a.
Yeah.
Chanan has a Hamahalik. Why is it the Nes of Hanukkah and the Nes of Purim, two different ways.
Oh,
Purim,
so Nes of Purim
was not
right.
Resistant. Hanukkah was resistant.
Hanukkah they fought. Hanukkah they went to battle. They went to Muhammad. Yeah.
When it's against
the neshama.
It's against the neshama.
The neshama, then you have to fight. When it's against the guf, then you don't have to fight. Okay, it has to be discussed. But the point over here is, this, all we need to take out of this is as follows. Is that when we find ourselves in a world where people are attacking, why are you involved in the study of Torah? Go out, get a job. And they're coming to shut down the study of Torah. According to what Pinchas says, I'm not making this up, this is the lesson of the Shreifa Satorah. You don't have to demonstrate. You don't have to fight. I shouldn't say that entirely. There has to be a shtadlus. It goes without saying. But the focus, the primary message is, it's you. The problem is in you. The problem is not out there. If you...
It's always mitdeitato.
Not, no, he's saying that's the thing. That's not always the fact. There are times when you do indeed.
Up until, you know.
Well, the problem is we don't know. I don't know that. It's not necessarily so. There are times.
I have a hard time finding an example with Rabbanim, advised resistance.
Okay, but there is
so conditioned that.
He mentioned Rav Elchanan, there is such a thing as resistance. Talk about the Warsaw Uprising. Okay, so Rav Menachem Zember. Rav Menachem Zember. He supported the uprising from the Gedolei Yisrael. He supported the uprising. It resulted in a total churban. It wasn't, but yet Kiddush Hashem. There are times where there is something called resistance. And then there are times where with the focus, you do ishtalus, you're not mechuyif to die, you do your ishtalus, but the focus is within. The message is, whenever you find yourself under attack, that Torah is not chashev. It's, you know why it's not chashev? They're trying to take it away from you. It's because you don't, if it's not chashev to you. Da gezera iraisa, it's a gezera, like you mentioned from Rabbi Shmuel, it's a gezera, accept upon yourself what's happening. You don't have to resist. In the Nela, the problem is, it's within us, for us to be mechazik ourselves in the chashivas of Talmud Torah.
The Rochanan quotes the Chafetz Chaim saying that when the communists took over, and you had the Yefsektius.
Yeah.
He said, Chafetz Chaim said they should have gone out and fought against them. Should have been resistant.
Okay, so see the Chafetz Chaim also. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have another example where there's resistance. I'm just presenting something that an idea.
I know I was being
provocative,
but.
No, no, I know. Okay. Okay, so that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to bring out some ideas. Now, let's talk about some other ideas. Today is also.
Historically, at this time, do you think of some terrible situation that Jews did the Vayris? This was the end of the period.
Of the Rishonim.
Of the
Bali. Well, now we don't on their Madrega, we didn't live in the time, so you have to understand what was going on at the time to understand. But this is the they receive from Shemayim this response. Okay, now let's discuss another idea relating to this idea. Today is also it's also the ninth day of Tammuz. The ninth day of Tammuz is significant because it is recorded in Sefer Yirmiyah and Sefer Melachim, Sefer Yirmiyah, as the day when the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. In the end of Melachim, the walls of Yerushalayim in the time of the Bayis Sheni were breached on the ninth day of Bayis Rishon. Of course, only Bayis Rishon. The walls of the city of Yerushalayim were breached, which basically means it was an entire month from the time that the Umos, that the Nebuchadnezzar and his army breached the walls of Yerushalayim until they conquered the Beis HaMikdash. It took exactly 30 days. What, from the ninth day of Tammuz to the ninth day of Av. Now, what is the obvious problem with this number? This is the Gemara's question. But why then do we commemorate? We commemorate Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. So this is the Gemara asked this question. The Gemara says, but what's then? Don't we have a tradition that the walls of the Shlaim were breached on the 17th day of Tammuz? So one answer is, one is referring to this 17th day was the day of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was the 17th day of Tammuz, and the Bayis Rishon was the 9th day of Tammuz. Really, Me'ikar Hadin, we should fast both. We should fast the 9th and the 17th day. But it's too difficult. To fast 2 days. If we only take the second one, because the second one is closer to home, it's more recent, we relate to it more than Bayis Sheni, so we only focus on the 17th, not on the 9th day. That is answer number one. Answer number two is a shocking answer. The answer is, the truth is, even during the time of the Bayis Rishon, the walls were breached on the 17th day of Tammuz. Why then is it recorded on the 9th day? It's a mistake. It's a toss. How could they record a mistake? That's all part of the Churban. They lost track of time. Not Moli Chosa. The Gemara says this. The Gemara says this. It's in Gidden, the Ferish of Gemara. They lost track of time. There was so much confusion. There was a siege for 3 years, even longer. There was so much confusion, they actually thought the calendar was the 9th day of Tammuz, when in actuality it was the 17th day of Tammuz. So they recorded it as the 9th day, and they left it the way it was recorded, but it's really the 7th. So we know now better, and that's how we only observe it on the 17th day. And what is the significance of such a thing? Why it was recorded for posterity, such a thing? So there is a lot of significance, because in Parshas of Eschanan, it says in the Pasuk, Kihi chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim, that the Torah is your chokhma ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim. And the pasuk goes on to say that the umos ha'olam are in awe over the chokhma of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi there quotes a chazal, what exactly is it about the chokhma of Klal Yisrael that the umos ha'olam are so impressed? The ibur ha'chodesh. The fact that Klal Yisrael are able to make calculations in time that no other nation can do. Time is obviously extremely complex, the cycle of the month and the year and all of the variations and the magnetic pull. We know that time is extremely complex. Time is extremely complex. The fact that we can make such calculations, this is the pride of Klal Yisrael. So here we have something very fascinating. What do we take pride in that the Umos Olam have absolutely no connection and they are off? Our calculation of time. At the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, we sunk so low, we didn't even know the calendar dates. We were off from 9 to 17. That's how low we sunk. Even we make a mistake in time. What? That's a separate issue. But that goes on. That is all part of the Churban of Golis, our fall from the ultimate height, He chokhmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim, down to the lowest step of not being able to calculate time. Therefore, it's not a coincidence that the Sreifas HaTalmud took place on this very day that is recorded in Sefer Melachim, the ninth day of Tammuz. Because what is the pshuta shel nikra, ki hi chokhmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim, which the nations of the world are impressed? It's the Torah. It's the study of Torah. The study of Torah Shebal Peh, the Talmud. The study of Torah Shebal Peh, the Talmud, is what gives us the incredible intellect, the chokhmah, the ability to make the incredible calculations in time which they have not shaykh to. It's all totally zeh v'zeh. So it's not a coincidence that almost 1,000 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, on that very day of Tes Tammuz, that is recorded, which always reminds us of our fall from grandeur to a matzav, we can't even calculate time, at the same time when we suffer the horrible tragedy that of the Sreifas HaTalmud, because they're really two parts, they're two sides of the same coin. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea. There's a very big question. Why? We mentioned this yesterday. Why do we commemorate the fast day? The fast day was never meant to be commemorated on the calendar day. It was always meant to be commemorated, according to the response in Shemayim, on the Friday, the Erev Shabbos before Parshas Chukas. This year it just happens to work out, unfortunately, that they both, and unfortunately, the way this year happens to work out, that they both coincide. Erev Shabbos Chukas always happens to be Tes Tammuz. But every many years it's not like this. And when they're not the same, the time to fast is Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, and not the actual calendar date.
Is that when they burned it on a Friday?
Yes, it was a Friday, Erev Shabbos. It was exactly the way it is this year. So the question is, why? Why? Where do we have such a thing, a fast day that depends upon the Parsha and does not depend upon the actual calendar day? So, number one, it's a very difficult question. So one answer is that really the fast was meant to be on Shabbos. That's the real day. We should really fast on Shabbos, and we lay in the parasha of Paraduma. Okay, we'll discuss the significance in a moment. There is a connection between the Sreifas HaTalmud and Paraduma, which we'll come to in a few moments. And Shabbos, already we can understand, because when we're learning Parsha Chukas and we're mentioning Paraduma, and we're going to show in a few moments that Paraduma is directly related to the Sreifas HaTalmud, okay, it should really be Shabbos. We can't do it on Shabbos, because Shabbos you may not fast. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. So, normally you would say we should push it to the next day. Normally a fast that you push ahead, you don't go backwards. But if we were to push the fast day to Sunday, that would already be Shaykh to Parshas Balak. And being that it's so critical that we connect to the Parshas Chukas, so the next best thing is to go backwards to the day before Parshas Chukas. Okay, that's one answer. Another answer is that when the answer was given from Shemayim, they added a vav. V'dah gezeira d'oraisa. So there was an extra vav that does not appear in the Targum. The vav indicates that the fast day should be on the vav before Parshas Chukas. But there's another answer. I think this answer really, to me, is more a significant answer. Chazal say, hafeichba dekulaba. Every event, world events, current events, Current events always can be found in the Parshas Hashua. That's really the role of a traditional rabbi. That's a dying breed. The role of a traditional rabbi is able to go and read the newspaper and to go and show you in the newspaper, to show you everything that's happening is really in the parasha. You know, that's what the traditional pulpit rabbi did. That was his job.
That was a sermon.
What? Now the yeshiva world. Okay, the yeshiva world. The rabbanim. They give a dvar Torah. They say a good, a brisker rav. They say a dvar Torah. Some good drush, good machshav. Very nice. They say a dvar Torah if they even do that. People are in the mood of listening. When you say before, they used to say the drush before Musaf. Now in the yeshiva world, they don't even do that. They do it after davening is over or by the kiddush. Okay, everything today has become extremely watered down. But traditionally, it used to be such a thing. The average person was very in tune with current events and was looking for guidance to have HaTorah HaShkaf of current events from the Parashas HaShavua. Now it's not just the Parashas HaShavua. If you're a real Baki, you can find the events of the day in the day of the week, in the Aliyah. There are seven Aliyahs and there are 7 days of the week. So what happens on Sunday? What happens on Sunday is in the first Aliyah. What happens on Monday is the second day. What happens on Tuesday is the third Aliyah. 9/11 was on a Tuesday. Right? It was on a Tuesday. Read and Parshas Nitzavim. Was it Parshas Nitzavim? Just read the third Aliyah of Parshas Nitzavim and it's clear as day. It's the Torah's description of 9/11. Okay, even the Slicha of that day. Once in a while, it's like blatant. Otherwise, you need someone as Ruach HaKodesh to show you the deeper meaning. Therefore, here it's not so difficult to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to fast Bedavka on a Friday, Erev Shabbos Chukas. Being that HaFechba Dekulba, there are 7 days in the week, and there are 7 Aliyahs. Friday, what are we laying on? What is the Friday? Friday is today is the 6th Aliyah of the Parsha. Shishi. And what does it say in Shishi? One of the most beautiful parashios in the entire Torah. Oz Yashir Yisrael es Hashira Hazos. Ali ve'er enula. Let the be'er, let it raise itself. Sing, enula, sing to it. What be'er are we referring to? The be'er, the well. Chaforua sorim, that was hewn by the princes. Korua, it was dug by the Nidive Ha'am. Bim Chaykeik, the lawgivers, Bimish Anoy, some with their, the lawgivers gave it to us with their sticks, with their staff. Umi Midbar, it was given to us in the Midbar, Matana, a gift. Now, these words are very hard to translate, but when you know the homiletic interpretation, it's easy as pie. It refers to the Chashivas of Torah. The Bo'ah, the bear, the well, is the wellspring of Torah. Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chulamayim. Who are the princes? The Talmidei Chachamim. Ravina and Ravashi. Abaya and Rava. Rav Kahana. Rav Ami and Rav Asi. These are the princes, the Torah. This is the Shira, the Yoifi. These psukim here represent the song that Klal Yisrael speaks to praise the Chashivos of the Torah. This is a nechama, or it goes hand in hand with the tragedy that occurred on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, the object that is our pride. Kihi chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amin. The Torah, which is the be'er, the wellspring of life, that has been compiled, that has been crafted with incredible precision and skill by the princes, by the Talmidei Chachamim, it is our song of life. It is on this day when, in one respect, there was a great Churban. It was destroyed. But that great Churban only propelled us, elevated us to even a greater love, even to sing a more beautiful song than before. This event, the Klal Yisrael, they took to heart. When Rachman is done, when something that you love is taken away from you, it only causes you to love that object even more and to be mechazik yourself and strengthen this even more. Before the Torah was burnt, Rabbeinu Yechiel, he had 300 of his Talmidim memorize every single word of the Talmud. Does that mean that before they didn't memorize it, it was now put to memory? And from here, it was because it was destroyed, it required us to be mechazik, and it was spread to even further and further throughout the entire world. So it's not, that's one another third reason of why it's bedafka on for Sachako. We have really three reasons. It really should be Shabbos because of the paraduma, or it's the Vav because whatever reason Vav, or really it's the sixth Ali of the week, which is the Chavivus of the Be'er. Now why is it Shaykh to Parachugas? What's the connection to the paraduma? So it's very simple. The Shrevis HaTalmud really is an extension, is rooted in the Shviras Haluchas. When was the first time the Talmud, the Torah, was destroyed? Well, it's like the Dvarim Shudim Ad Me'ot. The first time the Torah was destroyed was Shviras Haluchas. Every time we witness a Churban in Torah, we're really going back to Ma'aseh Avos Sim Labanim, when Moshe Rabbeinu took the Luchos down Shemayim and he broke them. Why were the Luchos destroyed? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu destroy the Luchos? What did we do to that? The Egel. We worship the Egel. What is the Paraduma? One of the first Rashi in the Parasha is a Kapara. The mother should come and atone for the child. The Egel, we worship an Egel. So we need now the Para. The Para serves the atonement of the Para. The Para serves as an atonement for the Egel. So therefore, when we focus on the Shviras Haluchas, when we focus on the Shreifas HaTalmud, which is another Geder, another example of the Shviras Haluchas, we need an antidote. We need an antidote. What is the antidote to Mechaper, to atone, to help us get through? Well, we'll go back to Ma'aseh Avos Sim Labanim, just like originally the antidote to help us get through the Tzara of the Egel was the Para Aduma. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a Chesed, has given us the backdrop of the Para Aduma against the Shreifas HaTalmud in order to mechaper by Neshalma Fodim Sifosenu. When we read the parish of the Para Aduma, Neshalma Fodim Sifosenu, it will be an atonement for us in order that to lighten the blow of the Shreifas HaTalmud. Okay, so these are a couple ideas. Really, we've gone through a number of ideas. We have Pinchas and the day Friday and the Shviras Haluchas. So, I also want to allude that it's the one that really preserved this event is the Rami Rattenberg, and the pasuk is Adam Kiyamus Be'oihel, and those words are very, very true to a certain degree for the Rami Rattenberg. He died Be'oihel. Oil here, there's an oil, and there's oil has a connotation of a, it's not your primary residence. You live in a bayis, you live in a mishkan. In oil, he was in prison for 7 years, shleikedin, he was imprisoned, he suffered, and he died there. And his body was there for 14 years afterwards until he was ransomed by a very wealthy individual tonight that he'd be buried next to him. So it's like we're almost alluding to, it's prophetic that this person, the one that really preserved the Klal Yisrael in a very great sense, the Shreifas HaTalmud, it was the Rami Rattenberg, and he's connected directly, a remes to his patira is connected to this event. They say, I read in the one that it used to be a minhag that on Friday, this Friday, you don't go out in the street. It's the mazel of Klal Yisrael is weak today. It's a weak mazel, and the people would make all of their preparations for Shabbos on Thursday. And Friday, all the stores were closed. And it was a day of mourning. Even if you're not going to fast, it's a day, it's not an auspicious day. It's a day to low-key, to stay down because of the terrible Churban of the Shreifas HaTalmud, which touches back upon the Shviras Haluchas. Okay, that being said, let's now go to some other short ideas in the parasha. Okay, a couple of short ideas. Beginning of the parasha, there's a very unusual word in Rashi. Rashi begins, Zois Chukas Satira. Why does it say the word Chukas Satira? Lefisha Satan, the Umoy Sa'ilam, Moinin Es Yisrael, Loimar, Mo HaMitzvah HaZos. What is the meaning of this mitzvah? Matam Yeshba. The reason why the word chukah is to tell you that it's a law. It's gezeres hakasav. There's no rhyme, there's no reason. Hashem said to do it, and that's the end. Don't. So the question I just saw is one of the farshim asked is this word meinin is a very unusual word. What does it mean, meinin? Meinin, the way it was translated probably in the various translations is they harass us. They harass us. But how do you translate based on the context? I know, literally it means to count. To count. But the word main over here means the main, the way in the, it doesn't make any sense. So the way it's translated, I don't have an article. You have an article, what is it translated? This is not an article. Give me the traditional. The Pentateuch. Okay, remember this.
There was a mistake in the counting.
Wow, look at these notes. Whew. Main in taunt. Okay, and this, remember this Chumash? Rabbi Sari, remember this right here? It says they taunt. They taunt.
Maybe it's a remiss to what you said before about them mixing up the calendar, counting the days.
They count. Okay. So I saw an answer. I don't remember where I saw this. And the answer is, the Umos Olam, they say to Klal Yisrael, why? What did you do wrong? They know all the answers. You, Hashem told you to bring the Paraduma to be mechaper on the Chei to Egel. You worshipped idols. So what's so terrible? The Umos Olam say, we do it all the time. Not only that, according to your rules, there's a halacha, you're supposed to follow the majority. So let's go to the United Nations, and let's go through every single country, and ask them, do you worship idols? And everyone who worships idols shall raise their hand. And 99% of the nations will raise their hands and say, yes, we all worship idols. So we go Basarayf.
Not a very.
What?
It's an Avery.
Oh, that's the answer. That's the answer. But the Umos on the Torn Klal Yisrael saying, they say, it's a very deep idea, is that it can be that if the whole world does something, it's wrong. It can be. Think about it. There is truth. We say this among ourselves in Halacha when it comes to Minhagim. We have a Minhag. What's the Minhag? What's the reason for the Minhag? No one knows. No one knows. So why are we doing it? Pukhazi. It must be. If we're doing it and we lost the reason, unless we know for a fact that it's wrong, that it's Shalai Kedin, we have Emuna. It must be there's a reason why we're doing it. We say it among ourselves. And we say it in Halacha, and we say it Minig Mavatal Halacha. It's a very powerful concept. You can't deny it to be true. And yet, I tell you once, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, someone once Reb Chaim Kanievsky, they said they want to name a street after his father. Should I go and should I accept the honor? So why don't you want to accept the honor of letting them name a street in Israel after your father? Well, number one, there'll be Bechal Shabbos in this street. For sure, it's a negotiation neighborhood in Tel Aviv. They'll be driving there on Shabbos. And number two, my father, he was not the type of person they named streets after. He was meek, humble, private person. Is this, and also, he was a Haredi. Is this such a thing that it's choshev to name a street? Find a chazal. Show me a chazal that says that it's a cover to name a street after a person. Rav Chaim Kanievsky shockingly said, as far as Chil Shabbos is concerned, that's a nonsense. That's not your problem. So let Mechal Shabbos. One day they won't be Mechal Shabbos. That's not your problem that the Mechal Shabbos on that street. As far as you're telling me that you don't have a chazal that says to name a street after a person is choshev, that's not a raya. If in the Welt it's choshev, it's choshev. If people consider in the whole wide world to name a street after a person is a big deal, then that itself speaks volumes. It's choshev. You don't need a gemara to tell me that it's choshev. If the whole world does something, there's something to it. It's a very powerful idea. And that's exactly what the Umos Olam, how we want to translate the words of Rashi, Lefi, Shasatan, the Umos Olam, Meinin Es Yisrael. The word Meinin is precise. They count. They count against Klal Yisrael. Why are you doing the Paraduma? Kapar of Avodah Zarah? So you do a little Avodah Zarah. Nishkefer Aloch, so you worship Hashem. Paseach al Shnei Asifim, La Hashem, V'la Baal. The whole world does it. What's so terrible? Go after the majority. The answer is no. The answer is Gezerahi Milafonai. The Torah says Zos Chukas HaTorah. That's why it says there are certain things you don't cross the red line. There are certain things. Avraham or Ivri, when it comes to Emuna, it really goes back to Avraham or Ivri. It's a choik. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Don't go and confuse me with the facts, with other what other people are doing out there, with the numbers, what other people are doing. It doesn't make a bit of a difference. The MS stands on its own. It's called a chayk. It's a short little idea. Okay, another idea. There are only two mitzvos in the Torah that have the word, that are called explicitly a chayk. What are they? Paraduma. Zos chukas ha-posach. Zos chukas ha-torah for paraduma. And just what's the connection between the two? So I saw a beautiful idea. I remember where I saw this. Is paraduma is the quintessential chayk. There's no rhyme, there's no reason, there's no way we can possibly understand why we do this. What is the opposite of paraduma? Pesach. Vigarata levincha. There is a mitzvah of Haggadah. There is a mitzvah of Haggadah. Lechem oini ba'avur ze b'mokem shematza umorar munachem lefnech the Pesach matzah umorar and Pesach is also when the Pesach is on the table, there is a mitzvah v'higadata levincha to give it your best, to answer, to explain to the best that you possibly can explain every angle, every reason why we observe the mitzvah of Karm Pesach. So these two mitzvahs, they stand at the two ends, the two extremes. There are, when it comes to Torah, Torah is called a chayk. And these are the barriers. There are mitzvahs that have reasons. And the reasons have to be expressed to the fullest degree possible. Karm Pesach. But there are mitzvahs that are gezeres hakasav. There's absolutely nothing to say. The reason why we do the mitzvah is Hashem told us to the mitzvah, and that's where it starts, that's where it stops. There's nothing more to discuss.
Now, someone said that even something like that, where you could find a reason for it, it's still a chayk.
Even a mitzvah, what do you mean?
You might think you know
the reason.
Okay, that's another idea. Okay, that's even a mitzvah like that.
Is
also a chayk. Okay, in a chanami. Okay, another short idea. Why is it that in this week's parash, the end of the parash we mentioned already before, the shira on the be'oz yashir yisrael es hashira zos lahashem vayom ulemar ali. Well, let me read the words of the pasuk. Oz Yashir Yisrael Es Ashura Zos Ali Ve'er Enula. What happened to Moshe? Why is it that the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim is a short idea? Why the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Oz Yashir Moshe Uvene Yisrael Es Ashura Zos Hashem V'yom Uleymar. And here it says Oz Yashir Yisrael. What happened to Moshe? Why is Moshe's name left out? So the answer is very simple. When Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, there was no Torah yet. It was just Geula. It was just Moshe Rabbe. It was just redemption. They were on the way to the Makabal Torah. They needed Moshe as a Rabbi. Mele Moshe. Everything that Klai Yisrael had was a Moshe. Here it's 40 years later. 40 years later after Matan Torah. And here the theme of the Shir is Torah. When it comes to Torah, every single person is a Bailim on Torah. Every person is Shayach in Talmud Torah. No one should make a mistake and think that Torah is only for the great, only for Moshe Rabbeinu. When it comes to Torah, the theme that we mentioned before is the theme of this Shira is the Be'er. The Be'er is a remes for the Be'er of Torah. The Sodim and the Nedivei Yom, the Talmidei Chachamim, to connect to them, every member of Klal Yisrael is equal. No one should make a mistake and think that Talmidei Chacham and Moshe Rabbeinu has a monopoly on Divrei Torah. Every single one in Klal Yisrael has an equal chelik in Torah.
Again, very interesting why he leaves out Moshe. It was Moshe hit the rock because he was angry. He said, she was not ready. To him, this was no miracle. Klal Yisrael, the people that saw a miracle for the first time, they weren't alive at the Kisuv HaTzur. It was only the Dibartem El HaSela to them, so they sang because this was to them.
So he knew this wasn't something new.
Uh-huh. Very angry when the water came.
He wasn't in the mood to sing.
The water came out. He wasn't exactly in a singing mood.
But this is a typical Barbanel. Okay, let's do another very short idea. This has a little bit of Musar Haskel. We know that when it comes to the Paraduma, we have extreme chumis. What are the extreme chumis? that they would actually have a city. They would have a special city. When they came time to make a new Paraduma, they built the city upon rocks, upon pillars, just in case deep down below there was a dead body, and the dead body would cause the people to become contaminated. So they wanted to make sure that the children, the people that would be involved in preparing the Paraduma, would be 100% tar. They lived upon cities that were built upon pillars that would contain and block the timber from spreading. And they lived there until it came time to prepare, and then they did all the other chumras. The question is, why did Chazal bend backwards to do such extreme chumras to prepare for the Parah Aduma? And in fact, after why did they do this? Because when they slaughtered the Parah Aduma, they contaminated the person that would prepare the Parah Aduma, and they would immerse them in the mikvah, and they would do all of the preparations before the sun set. Before the tzedakim were of the opinion that when it says in the pasuk ish tar means tahar entirely. Tar entirely means not only did you go to mikvah, you must wait until it's nighttime, until the sun sets. Like the first mishnah, Masechta Brachos, when the kohanim eat their truma after they went to mikvah, and then the sun has set. So since the rabban and the prushim may disagree, they darsh in the pasuk that you can prepare the Parah Aduma even a person who went to mikvah even before the sun has set. So in order to show up the tzedakim, to show that they're wrong, they bedavka, they went out of their way to contaminate the person who prepared the Parah Aduma by contaminating him and immersing him in the mikvah and doing the preparations before the sun set. The problem was, it's going to set a bad example. When everyone in Klal Yisrael sees that the person that prepares the Parah Aduma has been contaminated and then goes to mikvah, you're being mizalzel in the tahara of the Parah Aduma. People are going to get the wrong impression. So in order to counteract that wrong impression, they go to the other extreme and they require that the people that will ultimately prepare the Parah Aduma, they'll live a life of tahara from the time of birth until they're ready to prepare the Parah Aduma. Extreme chumis. The question is why? Who cares? Just because you have a couple of fanatics out there that stoke it, they have a perverted way of understanding the Torah, why should Chazal take them into consideration? As long as Chazal are in control, why do they have to take into consideration the time of the people to prepare and then to counteract? Who needs all this? Just do it. So the Baalei Emor say something very, very frightening. They say, and I'll go another way, let me take a step back. There were a lot of things that the Pushim did. A lot of crazy things the Stokin did. Why all of a sudden, when it comes to the Parah Aduma, all of a sudden now they're coming to be so machmir and do these extreme chumas? So the Baalei Emor says, because when you have a person that's machmir, watch out. See, today we all feel very threatened by reform and conservative. Why? Because reform and conservative have broken down all the barriers. Coolest. There's no Shabbos, there's no Yom Tov, there's no Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no Har Sinai, there's no Torah Min HaShemayim. When you have people who break down all the barriers, everything, all the coolest. All right, obviously you're a pirate skeder. You want to do what you want to do. The door is open. Go do what you want to do. I'm not afraid you're going to have any effect on me. I'm observant. You want to be observant, so you want to do what you want to do. Halavai, we hope one day you will return. You'll chayze, we will take you back with open arms. You chayze b'shuva. But when you have a person that's more machmir than you, he's machmir. That's already a sakana. Then he gets attention. You do things, takachu, you see certain groups in Klal Yisrael, they do things. Let's say they make a lot of noise and for some reason they get a lot of attention. They get attention when they do chumras. They cannot go into examples, but when people are doing chumras, things that you're not mechuyev to do, and you're being machmir, then you have to pay attention, because those type of people can be a very great danger. They'll be machmir one matter, but they're thoroughly corrupt, and they'll destroy you from within. The tzedakim are machmir, tahara, tahara. You have to be tar. You have to do the Parah Aduma after the sun out with the people who have tahara 100%. They are going to get a lot of media attention. People are going to pay attention. Maybe they're attacking right.
There was a complaint in last week's Yid, in the newspaper, The guy wrote from Eretz Yisrael, he said there were two young guys from Tomas Aharon who wanted to organize buses.
Louder, please.
They wanted to organize buses to Lag BaOmer to Miron. So they went to the police. They had to get the permits. You couldn't get anything to police. So as soon as they went there, signs went up in the shul that these guys are dealing with the Fadar ben Medina. And I'll have to talk to them. He said, all day that one of the Kaila guys will never take a penny. They don't even have
money. What does this have to do with anything?
It's a Torah. They came to talk to the Jewish.
This has got to do with the shoe.
All right. Let's go to another idea. Now, this idea, I like this var. I'm going to tell you now. This is what I like. I don't know if you like, but I find it to be very, very satisfying. There's a very, very bizarre targum Yonasan ben Uziel in this week's parasha. Now targum. And the sides of being bizarre in its own right, it appears to be Knegel Halacha. There's a lot of discussion as even La Halacha what the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel means, but he still says it. What does it say? We have to really have another. What exactly is the logic of the Paraduma? And we all know that there is no logic. We all know that it's a choik. And Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, said that there is no possible way we can understand what it really means. But yet, many of the Rishonim and Achronim do give a little attempt to give a little flavor of what is the Paraduma all about. Paraduma is coming to give Tahara. It's coming to give Tahara for Tumas Meis. Obviously, it relates to our understanding of death. Let's talk a little bit from Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says, why is that a person who is dead contaminates? Why is a dead body the Aviyah Vaisatoma? Why? The person is a good person, a nice, holy person. He lived a wonderful life. He died after 120 years. He didn't do an Avir in his life. Why is his body Avi Avoy Satoma? So Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch basically says, because you, the person is not Metame, he's a, but when you, the onlooker, you, the observer, see the body, what you're seeing is the ultimate lie. You see someone that appears to be dead. He didn't die. There's no such thing as death. The neshama is nitzchi. The neshama lives on. It's just a show. A human being after 120 years appears to shut down. It's over. There's nothing left. Gone. That's a lie. The neshama lives on. The neshama first begins to live after his body shuts down. But that's not the way it appears to us. To us, we requires enormous faith to understand that the neshama lives on. That's why this tumah, because you're seeing a lie, and it's impossible not to be affected by this lie. When you see a dead body, oh, he's dead, he's gone. Subconsciously, it appears that he's no longer here. It's a lie. That lie is sheker. That sheker is what brings the contamination. And that's why you have to distance yourself from a mace. And if you do come in contact with a mace, you have to purify yourself. Now how does that, the paraduma, take away the lie? So here, let me read you the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel in this parasha. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, V'yichol lecho paraduma, the pasuk says, Tzmi masha in bo mohom. Has no blemish. Take the paraduma and slaughter it. Targum Yonasan Uziel says, "V'hanpak yosol lechoido limi bara." Take it alone. He's adding some other elaboration. Take it alone, limi bara, outside to the midbar, mechutz lemachne, lemashrisa, outside of the machne. V'sader chazor leisidurei kisin desenaya. Okay, it says different ideas, things that you should do with it. I'm not even sure what all these words mean. And then he says here the key words we need: v'yivdik na besamnei siri terifan. After you slaughter the para aduma, you now do an autopsy.
What?
Autopsy. I don't mean autopsy. Literally, I mean you check it for 18 trephis. Now, you know, in the slaughterhouses today, by the way, they only check pretty much for one. I shouldn't say, sirchus, the lungs. An animal, they check for the lungs. Do they check for other things? The chickens, they check for a lot of things, the chickens. The chickens, they check the intestines. They check a lot of things, but they don't check, in the Eretz Yisrael, they check the lungs also. When I was in chickens, they feel the lungs, because in the Eretz Yisrael, the quality of the birds is not as good as in America, and they have problems with the lungs. So they just rub it. They rub it to just make sure there's nothing that's not abnormal. Okay, whatever it is.
Yeah, millions they kill.
But technically speaking, you don't need to ever do a bidika. If you live in this place where animals don't typically, you go basarayif. If 51% of the statistics are that 51% of animals slaughtered are okay, technically speaking, you don't have to check. In fact, that we live in a society where we don't have 51%. If you go up north in the cold climates, they do. In the very cold climates, there are very few sirchas. Because our animals come from the south, and warm climates with humidity, that's why the percent of not having sirchas is like 20%. It's very, very low. Even less? Higher? What? Not having sirchas. Whatever it is. Not for now. Whatever it is technically speaking, you don't even need to check. You don't need to check. And if you check, you check. You check for, what are you checking for? You check for things that are common problems. You don't check, no one today checks 18. The Rambam expands from the 18 to 70. No one's checking an animal, a checklist. Okay, like a car. You bring in your car, they tell you on the radio, checklist, the diagnostic state, they'll go through a million things, baloney. They'll go through all the million things they're going to check for. They don't even check for one of them. The engine turns on, looks good. You pass inspection. If it doesn't pass inspection, so you stick the thing into another car. We all know what goes on. Right? So you check for trephus. It says they check for 18 trephus. What are you checking for 18 trephus for? Now here's the problem. Does the Targum Yonasim and Uzil say that you should check for 18 trephus by every carbon in Parash Vayikra? Go back to Parash Vayikra. The Shachanes Ben Abokar. The Talmud Shal Shachar. Talmud Shal Ben Abayim. This part, that part. Rosh Chodesh. Do you check it? It's not even likely you even check altogether. And even if you do check, you'll show even one place in Tanakh that the Targum Yonasim and Uzil is in the garden of his way to go tell you, oh, we did the Ba'is of Shechita, and now we have to check if there are no trephus.
So there was no glot?
Wait. What?
There was no glot?
Beis Yosef glot. Why do they have glot? They have Beis Yosef, they're the best. So the question, what are you checking for? What do you check? What do you check? And even if it's a chidush, do you check? Okay, you want to check. The Targum Yosef has to make mention of this. And from all the various korbanos that you're going to check, para aduma, who cares? No one's eating it. Bishlaim, when it comes to Korban Chatos, the Kohanim are eating what? So maybe the Goyle will be different. But when it comes to Korban Chatos, you don't want to tintin halev, you don't want to ingest non kosher meat. Comes to a Kotche Kalim, the Ba'olim are eating it. Families are eating it, many people are eating it, so you want to check. But the Paraduma, it's a carbon, it has to be kosher, it can't be a trefa, but it's not being eaten, it's being burnt. It's not even being burnt on the Mizbeach. It's being burnt, you'll tell me the Mizbeach is holy, so you don't put on the Mizbeach an animal that has a defect. But the Paraduma is not even being burnt on the Mizbeach, it's being burnt outside the Mizbeach. From all the Korbanos that you're going to inspect for trefas, it's the last one on the list that you would even think of checking, and even if you're going to check yet, the Targum has to go out of its way to go say, we go check that it's a trefa.
That's also a
but it doesn't even say it in the pasuk. So he's quoting from halacha, and the truth of halacha, it's not even so. That's what they want to say. The Targum is a pellet because halacha lemaisa, they didn't check it. You don't check it because if you check it, you would ruin it. It would be deficient. You can't even check it. All of the coronas you dafa could check. Paraduma, you had to use. They say they use magic. They had special koichas of ri'ia to see through the animal. They did all these bizarre things. It's a pellet la halacha what the Targum Yonasan Ben Uzil says. But we're not even going there. Let's just focus on the fact that he does say it. So what's going on? So the answer is, because that's exactly the point. The point here is, what is Paraduma coming to do? Remember, Rav Sham Shir Fal Hirsch, death is the ultimate lie. A dead body. It's over. Finished. There's no life after death. That's a lie. That lie subconsciously corrupts your neshama. How can you live life thinking, I'll just live it out and now it's over, I'm not responsible. I just have to, get out of this world in one piece. And then all the averis I do, it doesn't make a difference. Corrupts your way of thinking. You need to cleanse yourself from that contaminated thought process. You know the end, know how you do it? Take this paraduma. Take it. An example of life. Is there a greater symbol of health and life in this world than a paraduma? A para is the most powerful, the domesticated animal. This is a para, it's a gazunta.
A behemoth.
It's a powerful. It's beautiful. It's red. It's bright. It stands out. It is a symbol of life, a symbol of koyach, of gevura. And then what do? You kill it. It's dead. It's completely dead, lifeless. And now you check for treifas. What is a treifa? Treifas that this animal it could live, but it's dead. What difference does it make now? That's exactly the point. It's now, it first begins to live. When you check for treifas now, what you're doing is, it's taka dead. But I'm checking that this thing, even though physically it's dead, we're now checking for signs of the real life. It's symbolic. It's symbolic. You don't check other karbanas for signs of treifa. Treifa means it can live forever. But it's dead. It's not dead. It's a mushel. Just like when a human being dies, it appears that he's shut down and it's over and there's no more life. It's not so. It's now the beginning of life, of the real life in olam ha'emes. The symbol to remind you is the take this a koyach of chayim. You kill it, and now you go through the motions. You go through a doctor's exam. You do a CAT scan, and you do a this skin and that skin, and you check for the 18 treifas to make sure that this dead piece of meat, if not for the fact that we took its life through a ma'aser shechita, would be alive and gesund and be well. To remind us, life really begins now. And now that we are determined that this creature is really alive, or symbolically, because we've done the, we then transform it into ash, we go to the next step, and that ash is going to be sprinkled upon the people who have their minds corrupted by the big lie of death, to remind them the ash was checked for the 18 treifas. So I'm trying to turn it around and show you that the checking for the 18 treifas is the most critical component of the Parah Aduma. Something which is not even in the Pasuk. It's only the Tagim Yonis and the Zeal. And it sticks on Tagim Yonis Zeal in a very bizarre way, because it's found by any other carbon in the Tagim Yonis and the Zeal's parish in Chamishei Chumshei Torah. There's no other mention, and from all the korbanos, this is the last one that you would expect to be concerned about treifas, because it's not eaten, it's not even burnt on the mizbeach. The answer is, you're going through a thought process. You're taking life, and you bring it to an end. It's over. And now, I'm going to inspect the meat to make sure that this thing is as healthy as it can possibly be. It is perfectly, it's the picture of health. Even though it's dead. And even though I'm going to then go ahead and go and burn and turn into ash. Because that's what the message is to us. There is life after death. And that is going to be an antidote to the corruption that affects the mind when we witness death and we are confused with the fact that there's no longer life. Okay, let's go to another quick vart. The Meham Arif, this is part of a very frightening story with Moshe Rabbeinu, just last one very quickly. Moshe Rabbeinu, he hits the rock instead of speaking to the rock. What exactly is the depth of the sin? So there are probably at least 100 perushim on what this means. But one thing crossed my mind, which I found very, very very pleasant interpretation of Mahalik in the Chedam Ariva. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the complaint? Right before Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, the Klal Yisrael complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, why did you take us out into this desert? There's a place where there is no zera. There's no seeds.
439.
Okay, the passage is, V'loma havei semes kahal Hashem el hamidbar hazeh. Why did Loi mikoim zera. It's not a place of seed. You can't put anything in the ground that will blossom. That's what it says. Loi mikoim zera. Use'eina the gefen rimon. There are no fruits. Umayim ayin lishtos. First thing that's loy mekam zera. Vayavoy Moshev Yaron b'nei Hakol b'pesachol moed vayiplu apneim they did fell tachlon. Vayeroch void Hashem alim vayomar vaydaber Hashem Moshe alim kaches hamate. So I saw somewhere in a sefer hamate. It's a kach es kach hamate kach. There's a hey hayidia kach es hamate. What's the hayidia? Not just any mate. Take the mate of Parshas Korach. What was the end of Parashas Korach? Vayanach Moshe samatayis l'milufnei Hashem b'yol ha'idus v'yihi mimochras v'yivay Moshe l'oil ha'idus v'hinei porach matei aharon v'veis levi v'yotzei ferach blossoms, flowers v'yotzei tzitz blossoms v'yigmol shkedim almonds flowers, buds, almonds a piece of wood. It's an expression in Chazal. A piece of wood means dead as can be. Once you cut the piece of wood, you cut the piece of wood off the tree, off the ground, you can, it's not going to grow. You can go put a beam. I never saw people put beams in the ground. You don't see beams growing, producing fruit. Okay, it doesn't go like that. Once the thing dries out, it's a piece of wood, it's over. It's a miracle. A piece of wood. Lack, no lachluchas. No moisture. Look what happened. Vayotzei ferach, vayotzei tzitz, vayigmol shkede. Not just stam, delicious delicacies. Almonds. It's always a symbol of a delicacy. These people are complaining to you that they're in a desert. They're in a desert. That ain't mekoyim. Their first complaint is there's no zera. Nothing here grows. Go take out of the clay, forgot already. And then what was that mat? That mat was l'ois u'l'mishmeres. What did Hashem tell him to do with that mat? Choshev es amat ha'arun l'vein elus l'mishmeres l'ois l'vnei Mary. L'vnei Mary. So here we have the B'nai Mary. Here we got them. This is the mishmeres and the ois l'vnei Mary. Moshe, all you have to do is show them the mat. Show them that a piece of wood can blossom, can grow. And just because you're in the desert, don't worry, if Hashem wants, you will succeed, you will survive. There's nothing to complain about. The chait is that Moshe Rabbeinu took that matah that was just meant for show, and he hit the matah. He used the matah as a tool, as a way of producing. That was the chait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavanah was to use the matah as a sign of a reminder. Moshe was confused because Miriam, the Barmanel says, Miriam just died, and Moshe was not in a frame of mind. That was the chait. Kaches hamateh v'hakelas aida atov yaron achicha v'dibartem el asela. When you're holding the matah, when you're holding the matah, and they see that even a piece of wood can blossom, that will be enough of an inspiration for the people to realize that now you can just speak to a dead rock, it'll also bring forth water.
So this is not the matter of Moshe. This is matter of Aharon.
Yes. Right. Yes, 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 yes. That was the problem. Vayikach Moshe samatem b'lifnei Hashem kasher tzivahu, vayakilu Moshe azar nizkat kohol b'nei asol, vayim olachem shimu hamoirim, hamenasel lazen etzvich hamoim. But Moshe made the fatal mistake. He took the matter, and instead of showing it to them, He abused it.
First he did something else. He gave Musar.
Shimuno Hamoidim. Hanan Asel Zenit Ramoim. Vayore Moshe Siyode Vayaches Asela Bimateu Pamoim. So that was the mistake. Okay, so that's an idea. Mahalach to understand what happened here in the Pasuk. Okay, we'll leave it here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.